What's going on, guys? Welcome back. Let's just make sure this is recording. And now to kind of test my gain. Okay, I can get pretty loud there. Oh my gosh. Make sure I'm not clipping. So yeah, welcome back everybody to MLWD. I mean, that's definitely crazy for a change. I'm usually doing stuff for the earbud recently, but here we are doing something for MLWD. And the only reason, I mean, this has nothing to do with diabetes whatsoever. It's not music related, and the earbud is music related. So anything not music related goes on MLWD so far. That seems to work well. Today, I mean, if you've listened to my most recent earbud episode, which was about vinyl records, and you should listen to it, it's entertaining, I think, hopefully, says me just tooting my own horn, but it seemed fun talking about it, and maybe it's fun to listen to, so I recommend, giving that a shot. Even if you don't care about vinyl records, it's still fun to experience. I don't even know what I'm saying. But I did preface the whole episode by saying I did get a new microphone, the Shure SM7B. So if you listen to that, then you know that already. If you didn't know that, then now you do. I have been gifted with the lovely, legendary microphone, the Shure SM7B, the dynamic microphone. We love it so much. Oh my God, it's great. It sounds beautiful. And as I've described it, it's kind of like it's a blank slate because you can do so much with it, and you can really, it's so easy. Well, easy is a strong word because I've had some difficulties, but it is, it's a good mic to post-process because it's such a good starting sound that you can really, once you elevate it to something else, like it's very easy to mess around with and change. But even it sounds good on its own, and I should say, for this, I'm not post-processing at all until I get to that section, but because of this, first of all, welcome to the episode. We're going to be reviewing the Shure SM7B. Thought it would be a nice refreshing change, probably be a quicker episode just to review a microphone, talk about it for a little bit, do a couple tests, and, you know, we get to hear it, because this is a very popular microphone, and when I was going to, you know, buy it or want to buy it or ask for it or whatever, you know, I was looking for people just, like, authentically testing it, you know, sounding on an average voice. So that's what I'm trying to do for you guys today, because, again, it is a very popular microphone. This is a big one in the industry, quote-unquote. But, yeah, no, I thought it'd be fun. We'll get right into it. So, Shure SM7B is right here. And right now I'm recording with absolute bass audio. Nothing is done to this. I may boost it in post. I probably will, because this microphone is notoriously very quiet. But it's recording into a Cloud Lifter and into a Focusrite Scarlett Solo. That is probably the most popular setup for the Shure SM7B, but I've done no post-processing. I will do some later for other sections, but as of right now, there is no post-processing on the audio you're hearing. None of the switches on the back of the microphone are engaged, and I'm in a mostly treated room while recording this. I'm saying mostly treated because a lot of my foam panels are falling down, like, as we speak, because the adhesive I have for it sucks, and I just ordered some new ones on Amazon. Hopefully that'll work. It's coming, like, in 2 days. But yeah, mostly treated. So I'm going to start this by talking about some specs of this microphone. That is something a lot of people care about, so we'll open that up. I don't know a lot of what I'm about to say, so I am just going to read them for you guys, and hopefully that works. But yeah, Shure SM7B, we know, is a dynamic microphone. It is not a condenser, which is like what a lot of people... It's the main other one. Ribbon microphones, that's advanced. No one knows about those, Johns. This is a dynamic microphone. The only other kind is that most people would know is condenser, and famously... there's like the Blue Yeti. That's a popular condenser mic. And really the differences between, for one, dynamic microphones tend to be just cardioid, while condenser microphones can have multi-polar pattern, like, settings. You can switch the polar patterns, but also they're broadcasty, they're smooth and usually warmer, richer, and better at off-axis rejection. And when I say off-axis rejection, I mean that I'm speaking right into the front of the mic right now. If I start speaking into the side or even the back of the microphone, like right now I'm in the back of the microphone, it's not picking up anything pretty much. I don't even know if you can hear this in the recording, but let's see. But yeah, and then I'm back to the front, and it's really good at blocking out background noise. So that's something that dynamic microphones, in comparison to condensers, are strong for. I'm gonna use some sources for this, but according to careersinmusic.com, this is important. So condenser microphones, they're very sensitive. They're more sensitive than dynamic microphones, which is why microphones like this, I mean, are really quiet. They need to be boosted quite a lot and need a strong amp. Mostly, I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily true, but a lot of dynamic microphones tend to be XLR, while condenser usually can be USB. Don't quote me on that. USB is just plug and play. You know, the mic usually has a built-in preamp. You kind of just plug it into the back and plug it into your computer, and you're good to go. While XLR needs a preamp or an audio interface, like the Focusrite Scarlett, for example. Sure, SM7B, on the other hand, is just very quiet, and the signal is very weak. So I'm using a cloud lifter to kind of boost that before it goes into the audio interface to get a louder bass sound. But yeah, let's read more about this. So dynamic microphones, on the other hand, are mostly like they're on stage microphones a lot. That's what you'll see them most of the time. And they're not, they're less sensitive and they're not powered, like I said. So they're now scientifically, I don't know if you care about this, but dynamic microphones actually rely on, quote unquote, the vibration of the magnet within the coil of the wire to produce a signal. So that's how dynamic microphones work, while condenser microphones are more, it's hard to explain because I don't really know, but it uses a diaphragm that maximizes the range of frequencies they can handle, quote unquote. It's just, there's difference. I mean, no one cares about those, you know, you don't need to know those, but, a lot of people would prefer to use dynamic microphones in an untreated space because it's better at, it's less sensitive. So it's obviously going to pick up less of the room sound. Those are the main differences here. But again, so for some specs for the Shure SM7B, it's known for being warm and smooth and broadcasty, one of the most popular microphones to date. If you go on TikTok, if you watch any streamer, you'll probably see this microphone. If you watch like most content creators use this microphone, it's so very common. It's extremely common with podcasters specifically. Example, Joe Rogan, the Basement Yard, if you've seen them, they're pretty cool. Rhett and Link have a podcast, the Ear Biscuits, almost said the earbud. I'm only saying these three podcasts, these are the only three I listen to, but, there's also like, I don't know, most podcasts use the Shure SM7B. It's most common, I would say. It has some of the features of the SM7B it's cardioid. It has just the cardioid polar pattern. Has a flat wide range frequency response. It has two switches on the back. So there's bass roll off and there's also presence boost. I will be demonstrating those later. It has some air suspension, shock isolation internally, improved rejection of electromagnetic hum. So essentially it's going to reject background noises like electric buzzing and humming and lights and stuff like that. I'll get to in the box later. It comes with yoke mounting, once again, cardioid polar pattern with a frequency symmetrical about the axis. Maximum rejection, minimum coloration of off-axis sound, like I said before. This thing is built like an absolute tank. It is full metal, except for obviously the windscreen. It's genuinely feels great. It weighs, how much does it weigh? 1.877 pounds or 851.6 grams. Is that right? That doesn't sound right. Whatever. They say it is right. I don't know. Frequency response is 50 hertz to 20 kilohertz. The impedance is 150 ohms for connection to microphone inputs rated at 19 to 300 ohms. Ohms, what a fun word to say. It has the two switches. We talked about that. 3-pin XLR connector. It has, I don't even know. These are just ridiculous specs. I couldn't even tell you what any of these means. None of the rest of this is important. But when you open the box, that is important. What's in the box when you get your Shure SM7B? For one, you get the actual microphone, which is grand, and you also get a foam windscreen. You actually get two foam windscreens, one of them being the RK345, which is the normal windscreen. If you look up a picture of the SM7B, it's that one. It's just the black, normal, thin one that kind of fits the shape. However, and I'm going to be taking it off right now, you can, use the microphone, give me a second, without the windscreen at all. Jesus, that was weird to take off, but now I'm just speaking into it without any windscreen at all, and I mean, you can do this if you want. It's going to be a little more sensitive to breaths and plosives, which is definitely a big problem. So you can use the A7WS, which is this gigantic windscreen. Actually looks like just a humongous thing, and it's going to dim the sound a little bit, so it's going to add some darkness because obviously there's so much foam in front of the microphone, but this is obviously better for breaths and plosives. Honestly, this thing does an incredible job at blocking out plosives. The only problem about it really is just how it's a little more sensitive and, sorry, a little less sensitive. And I feel a little bit quieter, and it's the sound is a little less bright. But still, you could do that if you want. But I personally like to use just the normal RK345 windscreen, which is just the normal looking one, and it just sounds like this because I think you can still get super close to the microphone, and it blocks out plosives like well enough. Breaths aren't terrible either. It just looks the best too, in my opinion. And it has the perfect in-between for taking off the windscreen. You get the brightest sound possible because you're speaking, like, right into the metal grill, into the capsule. When, if you put the gigantic thing on, you get the darkest sound possible. And, you know, if I'm saying bright and dark, I know it sounds pretty dumb, but it's just saying, like, brightness is like, I don't know, a brighter sound, you know, more sensitive. I'm trying to explain this the best I can, but bright and dark are usually the two words I use. But maybe more dull versus a more, higher highs, you know? Boosted highs are brighter, and boosted lows, bassy, is the darker sound, if that makes sense. Usually that can just, I mean, it's context clues, it kind of makes sense, you know, bright and dark. And one thing I do love about this microphone is how you can get super, super close, and you should get super, super close to the front of the microphone, because it's dynamic, and it works in that way, and it does really, really well at what is this even called? I can't even Johnny remember. I know this because I was obsessed with microphones and still kind of am. It's super, super good at coloration. That's it. When you get closer to the microphone, it doesn't sound extremely muddy, and it actually renders it really well. One of the biggest problems with the SM7B, not with the SM7B, with the users of the SM7B, is that a lot of people like to keep the microphone out of frame, especially when they're streaming. They like to have the microphone at the bottom of their desk so it's not in frame, and it sounds something like this. What's going on, guys? Welcome back. This is the Shure SM7B. I'm talking right now as I'm doing my stream. Doesn't sound great. When you have it much closer like this, you get the sound that it was actually intended to be. A lot of people want the microphone this far away so it doesn't look, so it's not in the camera, and it sounds pretty stupid because you're so far away. So right now I'm speaking about a foot away from the microphone, and I mean if I get farther, like I'm maybe three or four feet away from the microphone, and I'm speaking loud so you can hear me. But if I'm speaking normally, it sounds terrible. You're supposed to get closer. Right now I'm about 3 inches away from the microphone, and I mean you could speak like this. Now I'm like 6 inches away from the microphone, but now I'm right on the microphone, and to me that sounds the best, and I think that's the most reliable way to use the microphone. So yeah, that's specs, that's in the box. You also, in the box, you get, like I said, the mic, the two windscreens, you get a cable tie, which is super helpful. You get a 5/8 to 3/8 adapter, which, in the UK, and I think maybe Australia, or just like in Europe, I don't know why I threw Australia in there, in Europe, most stand adapters, when you put your microphone on a stand, are going to be 3/8, so like a thinner thread, while in the US, they tend to be 5/8. So that comes with an adapter, so you can fit to either one. Off the bat, the microphone does have a 5/8 connector at the top, so that's why it comes with the, you know, 3/8 adapter. So you also get a replacement plate for the back of the microphone. On the very back of the microphone, obviously, your two switches are there along with the Shure logo. Some people don't like the look of the switches or just don't use the switches at all and find that they're useless to them. They like the normal sound, which is what you're hearing right now. So they can choose to unscrew the back plate and replace it with just a black one with the Shure logo covering the switches for ease of use. That is definitely an option. I have not done it yet. I also don't know where my plate is. I put it on my desk somewhere and it's just gone. Very stupid of me, but I'm probably not going to need it because I do like having the switches. And I prefer the look of that. I think it looks pretty darn cool. In the box, you'll just get a sticker, which I put on my water bottle, and you'll get some manuals and some papers, and that's quite helpful, especially when you're reading specs that you don't understand to a bunch of random people listening to this audio. And when I say a bunch, I mean very little, which is unfortunate. But again, we don't care about views. Am I right, everybody? Okay. So now what I want to do is run a couple of tests. So, what I'm gonna first do is I want to put the microphone. I want to test the background noise of the microphone. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna increase the gain of the microphone. I want to demonstrate that this microphone, while it is great and I love it, it sounds great, is a very quiet microphone, so you do need to boost it quite a lot. And when you do that, when you use an audio interface to boost the audio, you're going to get some background noise with it. So we're going to be testing that out for you guys because I think it's pretty helpful. Right now, I have my gain at approximately 10 o'clock, if that helps. And I have been using that, and that's the best for me, especially with a cloud lifter. If you're not using a cloud lifter, I suggest going all the way up and just turning up the gain all the way because you're going to need it. With a cloud lifter, however, or if you're using a FET head, which is a very similar way to just activate the mic before going into an audio interface, it's important to keep it low enough that you have enough headroom when you're talking. And when I say headroom, I mean you can get loud enough without it clipping. So when you clip audio, it sounds like this. Ah! You know, you don't want to do that. It can damage your microphone under rare cases if you do that a lot. It can damage your headphones. It's definitely not good. It sounds bad. So I keep it at 10 o'clock because I can get loud. I can say, when I get loud, this is how loud I talk. Hello. Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? That's so stupid. You know what I mean? That's what I'm doing. That's how loud I get. But I can also talk quiet enough. And really, an important thing to remember is that you can always boost it later. It's better to record quieter and not damage the audio and then just boost it later. That's really the tip that I have for you. So I keep it at 10 o'clock, and recording at 10 o'clock is not nearly loud enough to publish, so I'm going to have to boost in post, usually about 6 decibels. So again, you're not hearing the raw audio. I imagine I've boosted it, because it sounds like you're going to have to turn your volume all the way up if you want to listen to this, John. So yeah, I will be doing a background noise test. I think that's helpful. I'm going to be starting at just nothingness, and we'll go up from there. So this is with... I'll turn the gain. I don't know if you can even hear me. This is the gain really low, and this is what the background noise sounds like. It's at about 6 o'clock. I mean, that's pretty much the lowest it goes. And here's what the background noise sounds like. Okay, now I've turned the gain to about 8 o'clock, maybe 7:30, and this is what the background sounds like. This is, like, very low gain. Here is the gain at about 9 o'clock. This is the background noise. And this is the gain at about 10 o'clock, which is where I use it. This is what the background noise sounds like. If you noticed it got louder, this is the gain at 12 o'clock. I'm speaking quieter because it's now quite a lot louder. This is what the background noise sounds like. This is the gain at about 2 o'clock. This is what the background noise sounds like. This is the absolute loudest I can go without my mic absolutely ringing extremely loudly. It sounds really stupid, very ASMR-y. We're at about 4 o'clock. This is what the background noise sounds like. Wow, that was incredibly painful. Jesus Christ, that was actually terrible. Again, we're back to my normal audio quality. This is at about 10 o'clock, which is what I like to use. And again, this is what the background noise sounds like. So yeah, next I want to do a windscreen test. I think that's interesting. I glossed upon it briefly, but I would like to get a little more in-depth with that and share some tips. So again, this is the... I'll start with the mic. I'll start with it off, actually. This is the Shure SM7B with absolutely no windscreen on. As you can see, it is a lot more sensitive and picking up plosives and breaths as I speak. However, it is a lot brighter, and a lot of people use this for vocal recordings. I'm not going to sing for you, but what people do tend to do to... in order to keep the brightness of this but eliminate the plosives is actually use a metal or regular just pop filter, external pop filter, rather than a windscreen that's going to cover the capsule and darken it. So I will grab a metal pop filter and show you what that sounds like. All right, so now I'm speaking into the microphone through a metal pop filter, so you still get the brightness, and the pop filter is right up against the mic. It's not touching it. It's about an inch away, and you still get to preserve the brightness of the microphone without a windscreen, but you get to eliminate those and those plosives. So, again, this is what it sounds like without the pop filter. And again, you do get to get a little bit closer, and you get the louder sound, but plosives are a lot worse. So now, this is the normal windscreen that comes with it, just on it immediately. This is the one that looks the most normal, the one you've probably seen before. As for plosives, it's pretty bad. And when I say plosive, by the way, P's and B's tend to do that. You might notice that in just other recordings, but when you hit a P sound, the air is going straight into the microphone. So this is what it sounds like with the normal one. This is what I use, and yeah, I think it sounds pretty good. It's, again, an interim of brightness because it's in the middle. Now I'll be using the giant windscreen, which I think I did before, but we'll do it again. Here is the big, fat, foam windscreen. John is actually huge. It looks a little bit stupid, I'm not going to lie. It makes it a little bit darker, but it does eliminate plosives quite well. You know, no, it's actually, like, incredible. It's actually really good at that. It does look really, really dumb from the side because it's absolutely humongous, but in a way, it's kind of cool. And I do want to mention a tip, actually. I have gone back to the normal windscreen, the original one that I use now, and I would like to share with you an interesting tip. So right now, I'm speaking into this, into the microphone, directly in front of me. The capsule is literally staring at my mouth. It's, like, right there. However, and you notice when I say the air, again, as I said, is going into the capsule. It's going straight ahead. If you position the microphone to the corner of your mouth, so let's say I'm looking ahead, but I put the mic facing the corner of my mouth, you're still getting that loudness, but now when I say plosives, it's going to go p-p-p. Okay, that was a bad example because I accidentally moved it. I'll do it again. When you have your mic like this, it's at the corner of your mouth, you still get close to the mic, but the air is not going directly into the mic, so compared to it definitely makes a difference. So that's the plosives test I wanted to do. I would like to do some now. Why is it so hard for me to say? Switches test on the back. So we'll be testing the presence boost and the bass roll off. You have been hearing this without any switches whatsoever. The first one I'm going to enable is the bass roll off. So now you are hearing the microphone with the bass roll-off enabled. You might notice it sounds a little, it does a little bit of an, obviously a low cut. It rolls off the bass. I personally think it kind of eliminates the deep sound that the Shure SM7B has, and I do not like it all that much. Just so you are aware, the switches are actually enabled with a flathead screwdriver. There are little holes. You kind of have to like stick it in there and just like drag it down. It's kind of the only way to do it. Again, this is the bass roll-off, and now I'm going to be enabling the presence boost. And now I'm recording with the presence boost, and this kind of just increases the highs a little bit while keeping the lows still there. I do like this one a lot. I used it for about half the episode in the last one, the vinyl records on the earbud, and then I realized that with my post-processing, it sounded a little bit weird, so I stopped using it, because as you can see, stopped, it really elevates those S's sounds, and it's, before I continue, I'd like to apologize. I said before that term I was looking for was coloration. It's actually the proximity effect. I knew it was like effect or theorem, but it's that if you get closer, it usually makes the sound muddier, but the Shure SM7B is super good at making it sound even better when you get closer, which is, like, astounding. Anyway, yeah, this is the presence boost that you're hearing right now, but presence boost, its S's are pretty strong, and I do like it because it sounds brighter, but this is what I've realized, is that I can achieve this effect with EQ and not damage the S's, you know what I mean? Because if I'm recording this with presence boost in the microphone, the S's are already going to be bad. But if I EQ it to sound kind of like this, then my S's aren't already damaged through the recording, if you know what I mean. Anyway, I'm going to turn these off. Actually, what I'll do first, I'll put them both on. I'll put bass roll off and presence boost on. I never do that. Well, you could if you want. I wouldn't. It's going to be weird, but we'll see. Now you are hearing me with the bass roll-off and the presence boost. Something just fell. I don't know what that was, but yeah, it's just weird. I mean, it just sounds quieter. I don't know. It's a little odd. And yeah, just maybe just don't do that. It sounds a little weird. And now we're back to old reliable, my favorite, because it's just, in my opinion, the best for post-processing because it's just so simple and so easy and a blank slate that you can really edit upon. And I think it sounds good. This is just with nothing on it, flat EQ on the back. And yeah, I love it a lot. Now, like I said, this thing is built like an absolute tank. I would like to do some shock tests. I have it on the Blue Compass boom arm. And yeah, I'm just going to tap on the table. Now I'm going to tap on the boom arm. Just to see how well it's rejecting those shocks. Now I'm going to tap on the microphone. I'm just tapping on the surface. I'm going to tap on the back. I'm going to tap on the side. Other side. And now, of course, I'm going to tap on the grill. I'm going to take the windscreen off. And I mean, that's expected. Yeah, anyway. Last thing I want to do before we get to some pros and cons and such is I want to look at the amplifier for a second here. My audio interface, the Focusrite Scarlett 2i. Nope, not 2i2. Focusrite Scarlett Solo. Now, a lot of people do recommend the 2i2 because it has two XLR input sources. So if you wanted to get two XLR mics, you could record a podcast with two different people. I don't have another person. It's just me. And I don't know. It's a little weird. And I am a little conscious about it. That is a solo podcast. That's a little sad. But it's fine. Focusrite Scarlett Solo. So it's one input as well as one, I actually don't know the term for it. It's not 3.5 millimeter jack. It's the one above that, John. What the? Whoa. Hello. Oh, my phone. That was weird. When my phone gets close to the headphone amplifier that I have over here, it starts to buzz really weirdly, and it gets annoying. Anyway, yeah, it's the one above a 3.5 millimeter. It's the one that you'd put a guitar amp into. I don't know what that's even called, but it doesn't really matter. Anyway, so there on the amp here, obviously, we talked about my gain. When you're using a cloud lifter, you do need to turn on the 48 volts phantom power for it to work. If I turn it off, you will hear absolutely nothing. I will do that for 3 seconds just for fun. Absolutely no audio. I mean, it kind of works as a mute button, to be honest. And then there's also this air button, and it's an included feature on some of the newer Focusrites. It's almost like a presence boost switched on the microphone. It actually adds some brightness and some, even I think it adds a little bit of noise. It kind of makes it broadcasty, almost as if you were on air. So here you're listening to my microphone with nothing on it, and now you're listening to the air feature, so you should hear a difference here. There's definitely more of a broadcasty sound. Maybe I'll say something broadcasty, like, today we're expecting some weather changes, with a cold front blowing in from the west, as well as a hurricane watch. So yeah, you can kind of hear it. It's definitely brighter, and if I turn it off, you hear it again. Hello, now we're back without any air, and it's a difference. We're expecting some weather changes with a cold front blowing in from the west. We're expecting some weather changes with a cold front blowing in from the west. Here's the background noise without the air, and at, again, 10 o'clock. And now I'm going to turn on air. You might have noticed a little change. Now air is off again. It also has, again, the input for a guitar or an instrument of some sort. I do not play music at all. My brother does. I will maybe get him to do that for me. And you can also turn up the gain, and you have to press the little INST button if you want to record guitar. It does have a giant monitor thing. You can plug in some headphones. You can turn on direct monitoring with zero latency. However, with the Shure SM7B, because it is so incredibly quiet, I got a headphone amp. It was like $40. It's a Polson, P-O-L-S-E-N. Never heard of it. Doesn't really matter. It's like a 4 headphone input. You plug it in and you just amplify the sound. And it gets a little annoying when I'm like actually playing back the audio and it's like 100% too loud, so I have to turn it down a little bit. But it's very helpful because without it I barely could hear myself, but now I'm able to actually monitor my audio with my headphones. And I'm using some Philips headphones. I actually don't know what these are. I got them so long ago and they're really good. I love them a lot. Open back, they sound good. They were really cheap. They were like $30, and they sound great. Anyway, yeah, that's the Scarlett. Okay, like I aptly predicted, I have gotten my brother to record some guitar, so I will play some of that for you, because I tested that out, and yeah, I thought it'd be interesting. So here are some samples. And also, interestingly, you can, once you have the audio in Logic, you can like add effects to it and such, so I will be doing that just to show you like what you can actually do with like raw stuff, but I will show you the raw stuff as well. So to start here is just raw stuff. Now some very not raw stuff, so beware, headphone warning, this will get a little bit crazy. Well, anyway, I severely hope you enjoyed the guitar part of that. I thought that was a very interesting addition. So I believe I have covered absolutely everything I wanted to cover. We talked about the Focusrite, and we talked about the mic in all shapes and forms. I think I did an apt a number of tests. The only thing I want to do now is actually talk about post-processing, because this whole time you've heard raw stuff. And you might be thinking, well, it sounds perfectly fine. And that is the case for many things, actually, and honestly, it does sound fine, and I am very happy with the way it sounds. I like perfecting it and really nitpickingly adjusting every single frequency, so I will be doing that. It is up to you. I mean, maybe it sounds better to you this next without any processing, and over processing now is a little bit clipsy. That can be fixed with post processing. Post-processing is subjective, number one, and also over-processing is very real. It's a very real thing, and I may be victim to it, and I just don't realize. I have no idea. It's very, very possible. So, without further ado, let's run through what I do to post-process. I would like to preface this by saying this actually took me, like, forever to perfect this, John. I scoured the internet. I combined the sources of like 7 different people on YouTube to actually find this. It took me so incredibly long to realize and to actually, and I learned that these people's audio is different, their voice is different, and really it's gonna have to come down to my own custom settings, but I kind of based it off there. So I will be telling you what plugins I'm using, and I am using Logic Pro for this, by the way. I have it on a free trial right now. May or may not have figured out a way to keep refreshing the trial, so I kind of just have it for free forever. Don't sue me. Eventually, I'll just get it. I mean, I love Logic Pro, and if not, I can just use Audition. It's like the same thing. However, I'm using Logic Pro, and the first thing that I do is add some saturation. So right now, you're hearing me with the saturation on. I'm using SoftTube's saturation knob plugin, which is completely free. And I have switched it to keep low. There's keep high, neutral, and keep low. I switch it to keep low, and I put it at about 3.2. So you might think it makes a subtle difference, but later on, when you start to add other things, it makes more of a difference. Also, as I add them, I'm going to be like legitimately adding them. So like now you're hearing the saturation. When I talk about the next thing, it's going to be saturation plus that. So it's literally going step by step in the process. So the next thing I do is add the Universal Audio LA-2A compressor under the Voiced 3 preset that they have for this. This plugin costs about, I think it's $39.99. I'm currently on a free trial testing to make sure it actually works, and then I'm going to purchase it. But the Universal Audio LA-2A, let's see, it is $39 right now, on sale, usually $149, and it comes with a collection of 3 other levelers, I think in just 3 different colors, so that's what you're hearing right now. And then I just add some channel EQ just to reduce mids. Previously, I had been adding brightness, but it was just too bright, so now I'm just sticking with reducing the mids. Preset, by the way. The last thing I do is just add some of Logic's de-esser, and I put the threshold at about -9.5, the max reduction about just 20 decibels, and the frequency at about 7,000 hertz. That works pretty well, but then I also, on top of that, just for de-essing, use channel EQ's reduce sharpness preset, and that seems to work pretty well too. So that's pretty much what my post-processing sounds like right here. And again, I'm still, like, totally working on this. I have pretty much no idea what I'm doing. I am very, very much learning, and again, I haven't actually fully purchased the Universal Audio stuff yet, so maybe I will, but I have to play around with this. Like, every day I'm learning a little bit more, and I had some other stuff on it that I literally just took out of the post-processing setup because I just realized I didn't like how it sounded. And I'm probably going to look back on this in a couple weeks and say, Jesus, I was really overdoing it. Maybe you prefer the normal audio, and maybe that is better, and maybe I'll just record like that. I don't really know. I'm still learning. I am probably and definitely overdoing it, and it probably sounds a little bit crazy, but hey, I'm still learning, and eventually I'll get there. So yeah, this is the Shure SM7B. This is the Shure SM7B, heavily processed, and once again, I will refresh your mind. This is the Shure SM7B with absolutely no processing and no switches. So, I mean, listen, maybe you prefer this. Or maybe you like this compressed and, like, you know, it just fixes flaws, really. It makes it sound smoother, like buttery smooth, in my opinion. But I don't know, I'm still learning. So this is the Shure SM7B. I love this microphone. And I don't know, if you're considering a microphone as well, if you want a broadcasting legendary, quote-unquote, as Shure likes to put it, microphone, and if you want something that sounds kind of like this, then maybe that's what you go for. And I personally love the deep, warm sound that this gives, but a lot of people don't, and a lot of people strive for a higher pitched thing, and that's why I'm post-processing a little bit to kind of get there, kind of get in between, definitely increasing the highs quite a lot, but I love how it just gives you a smooth blank slate, and you can kind of another thing I will do post-processing wise might do for this, I'm not sure, I only didn't say it because it just sometimes can damage the audio and really take away from the quality, and that is denoising. And as we said, the Shure SM7B does have quite a lot of background noise. That is something definitely to consider, and you can post-process that out, and there is a lot to do there. It just can damage the audio, and it definitely takes away from the crisp audio quality. So I didn't include it when I was just talking about like the permanent stuff I do, but now I am. And another thing you can do is de-reverb, especially when you're in like a untreated room. But again, I sometimes just don't do that because for the same reason. However, I did want to talk about some pros and cons that I wrote down for this. And listen, the cons are minimal. I love this microphone. It's fantastic. It will set you back $400. Like I said before, I didn't actually say that before, but it's important to know. But for pros, I mean, it's just an incredible sound. It's just buttery smooth. I love it. Like I said, it's a blank slate. It's super easy to, like, it's a good mic to compress. It doesn't actually ruin anything. It makes it sound better. And it just sounds fantastic. Another thing is that I love how you can get super duper close to the microphone and it does not change anything. It actually sounds even better. I love doing that. It's just super nice. Oh, it sounds so good when you get super close to it. Another thing is that it's really good at, it's relatively pretty good at background noise rejection. I know I did just say sometimes you do need to do denoising. But like compared to a USB condenser, you would have to do so much more denoising, and this is a lot better at it, especially if you're in an untreated room. Again, good untreated, but I did like how it comes with a variety of windscreens for different occasions. That's super duper fun. I keep saying super duper and it's weird. Also the ease of use factor, and it's not necessarily an ease of use, but more like, once you plug it in and get going, it sounds just good enough that you could publish it just like that. Like, it's just sitting down and using this microphone and it sounding so dang good is just, it's fun and it feels really good because it's like, it's just, you sit down, you have it plugged in permanently, you can just do whatever you want. And I love that about it. And that's like the biggest feeling I get from this microphone. And lastly, this is less audio related, but I do genuinely think it looks fantastic. It's super camera friendly. It's just like a sleek design. It's all metal, great build quality. It looks super cool. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people out there who buy this microphone for the way it looks. I didn't. A lot of people do. And it's, I mean, listen, they're getting a great mic no matter what they do. But I understand. I mean, it looks fire. It looks so cool. And a lot of people have it on camera, and they do show it off because it does look pretty fire. And I understand that. It looks super cool. And it looks nice in the setup. I have like some LED lights around this, John, and a cool recording light. And it looks nice. And it looks nice. Yeah, whatever. But now for cons, because there are some cons. Firstly, a really big thing that a lot of people say is that where the XLR cable goes up, if you're going to attach that to a boom arm, it's so incredibly annoying. It totally blocks off your ability to turn it the other side when you turn it right, because exactly where that XLR cable is, here's how I explain this. The XLR input is at the exact same height as the 5/8 mount. So when you have an XLR cable that is completely solid and not bendable cable for approximately 3 inches of space, and you put it right next to where it's mounting to the stand, if you try to turn it, that solid part of the XLR cable is not going to be able to turn. It gets completely stuck. So an easy solution to this is to buy a 3-inch 5/8 female to 5/8 female extender you can put in between, a little spacer. That is what I've done. I got a really cheap, like $4 one off Amazon. Sure does sell it themselves. But listen, if you have to sell it yourself, maybe just fix it. That's what I'm saying. I love Shure. I love that company. But hey, maybe you need to do that. The other thing, obviously, it does not have a built-in preamp. They do have the Shure SM7DB. That's $100 more with a built-in preamp. But at that point, I just got the stupid preamp. Because honestly, I think the SM7DB looks worse. I think it looks a little dumb. But that's just me. Also, it's just very, again, about the built-in preamp. It's just super low sound, so you're gonna need like a cloud lifter or a fat head, or just boost it heavily in post, which you can do. But if you want it to like sound normal off the bat and not have to up that background noise 100%, then you can get a fat head or a cloud lifter, which is what I've done. The other con is, which this is something I touched on before, it is a lot darker and deeper and lower than a lot of people expect slash want. Personally, it's not a con for me. I love it, but it is a con for a lot of other people. And it's less of a con and more of a warning. If that is not what you're looking for, that's extremely important. This microphone is super, super subjective. It really depends on the voice. That is the biggest thing. Some people just speak in the SM7B and it just doesn't fit their voice, and they know that and they're fine with it, and they can get a different condenser mic or the Electro Voice RE20, a much higher, much less dark audio sounding microphone. But I personally love it. I think it sounds pretty cool with my voice. Maybe not. Maybe you think it sounds terrible. I have no idea, but I like that. It's just more of a little notice if you're going to plan to purchase this microphone. And the last thing is this little problem that happened to me today, where the little piece that twists the 5/8 mount into a stand completely went loose today. And even when I fully secured it on a stand, the microphone would completely wobble. Looked it up on the internet. A bunch of people having the same problem. I called Shure to see if there was something I'm missing, if there's a piece I could tighten. They said it's super rare. They've only seen it one other time with their brother-in-law. And they were like, nothing you can do, man. Just send it in for repair. But I was not going to send it in for repair. I wanted to sit down and use this darn microphone. So the solution I came up with was to just put a 5/8 to 3/8 the included adapter inside, so it would like act as a little bit of a spacer and kind of tighten it in. That did actually work, but then I needed to find the included adapter is the 3/8 to 5/8. It makes a 5/8 a 3/8. So that's what I did. I stuck that little thing inside the 5/8 to make it like tighter in there, you know what I mean? If you just heard an absolutely horrible sound behind there, and if you heard it earlier, it's the aux cable going to my headphone is going crazy right now. I'm going to need to fix that. I have no idea what's going on. Also, so I put the 3/8 to 5/8 in there, and then I needed a 5/8 to 3/8 so I could attach it to my stand. And by stand, I mean the little extender that I also needed. Listen, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I love Shure. I love the microphone, but it took so many ridiculous steps to get this thing to work on a stand. It was so annoying. I had to first get the extender, and then I had to get a 5/8 to 3/8 to attach to my 3/8 to 5/8 to attach to my 5/8 that was not working. Ridiculous. But it works now, and that's all I care about. And I fixed the problem with the XLR cable, so I can turn it freely whenever I want. And it's great, and I love it, and it works, and I work from there. But yeah, that's the Shure SM7B. I hope you enjoy. Nice, quicker episode, and by quicker, this is probably like 35 minutes. I'll check right now. Anyway, yes, again, I hope you dearly, dearly, deeply enjoyed this, and I will see you guys very soon with some other episodes. Again, I am coming out with some more WAG episodes. I was reviewing 7 albums by the local band The WAG that I bought some CDs from in town, and I reviewed their first one, Ordinary Day, and it was very surprising. I would advise you to listen in if you want to hear about that. And I have to do the 6 other albums. Long Story Short is the next one. If you want to hear that, if it's going to be really fun just to hear the songs for the very first time, I've never listened to it before. And I'll put some reviews on it and rank it and rank the song. So yeah, if that's what you want to hear, then go ahead and do that. I'm making some other episodes. I will give you some sneak peeks of some ideas that I have if you care. For example, I wanted to do. Well, I just did the episode about the Shure SM7B, but I did want to do an episode about some. Okay, I don't know why I'm saying this like 100 times, but I want to make an episode about reviewing this other album that I found at a bar in Ireland. Now, I wasn't at the bar I was eating. It was just a bar. It was called Temple Bar. And there was a band performing there. I've never listened to the full thing, so maybe I thought that would be fun to review. I did want to talk about my obsession with John Mayer, and more specifically, how I got into John Mayer. I thought that could be pretty fun. And on here, some more random stuff. I want to do some stuff about maybe my favorite shows, and I won't tell you what they are because they're really weird, but I do have a lot to say about my really weird favorite television shows that are completely ridiculous. I do want to talk about CDs a little bit more, about storage, about burning CDs and stuff like that. And, yeah, there you go. That's like my entire trajectory of this podcast. So if any of those sound good to you, then stay tuned because they're probably coming shortly. And I'm having a lot of fun with this. I'm already like ahead of my schedule. I'm not going to be posting this. I literally posted an episode today. That was the vinyl one. It literally came out today as I'm recording this. Definitely not going to post this one today too. I'll probably save it for like a week or something like that. I'm ahead of my schedule, but I'm just having a lot of fun recording with this. And it really does give me this pretty cool outlet. I'm very happy with it, and I'm very happy to be doing this. So thank you very much, and goodbye. I will see you soon. Thank you for listening. Share it with your friends. Tell your friends. Goodbye.